Observations after our debate. Once saved, always saved, and other false teachings are commonly perpetuated by denying one's own doctrine, confusing the issue, and having a double message. Gum will do all of these plus more, as he teaches a popular but very dangerous false gospel, namely eternal security. Soon into our debate, Gum said this.
When Adam sinned, he died spiritually.
For Gum to say that is also to admit that Adam lost his salvation. That is, for Adam to die spiritually is to say he had spiritual life before that point. Later, Gum denies spiritual death for David in adultery and murder. In other words, Adam died spiritually through one sin, but David did not die spiritually through various sins. There is no consistency with their doctrine, so they can teach security in even heinous, wicked, vile, devilish sin. That is shown by the Once Saved, Always Saved radio host asking Gum the following question.
Pastor Gum, can you commit adultery and be a Christian?
Of course you can.
Gum is dogmatic. Of course a Christian can't commit adultery and remain a Christian. The truth is, Gum thinks a Christian can't commit any sin or large number of sins and still have his salvation and never get that salvation negated. That is the essence of his whole theology. Once you're saved, you are always saved, even if you turn to wickedness and never repent. To them, there are two types of people in adultery, one saved and one lost. Listen to what else Gum says.
How will they get in the kingdom? They're already in the kingdom, but in the flesh, we've got two people. When we're saved, we're born again. We have a new nature, and the Bible teaches that new nature cannot sin. But the old nature, and that old nature is not going to go to heaven. The flesh is not going to go to heaven. It will be resurrected. It will not go to heaven. It'll be a brand new body joined with the departed spirit. And in this flesh, there's sin in this flesh, but the flesh will remain here.
That was Gum's fairy tale explanation erected around the heresy of eternal security. The new nature or spirit can't sin, only a Christian's flesh can. Paul crushes that demonic idea in Galatians 6, 7 through 9. This is what he wrote. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please a sinful nature from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please his spirit from his spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Gum's teaching is an actual attempt to mock God by thinking one can sow to please his sinful nature or flesh and still reap eternal life. Paul warned Christians not to be deceived by such a thought. If you sow to please the sinful nature or flesh, you will reap destruction or hell, which is the opposite of eternal life. To reap eternal life, Christians were told, the one who sows to please his spirit from his spirit will reap eternal life. Galatians 6, 8, and 9 is a salvation passage, not a rewards passage. That was Paul's grace teaching. Gum also said this.
Salvation is of the Lord.
Gum actually referred to Jonah 2, 9 there, but he rejects flatly the verse before Jonah 2, 9, that is Jonah 2, 8. Jonah 2, 8 says, those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. Note, grace will be forfeited if one clings to idols. That is not the grace of once saved, always saved, but the grace of the Bible. Gum mentioned Adam again, and he said this.
When Adam sinned against God in the Garden of Eden, all mankind, every human being that's ever been born, has been born spiritually dead with no life to God.
Based on what Gum said, he therefore believes in infant and child damnation. That is, all infants and little children will go to hell if they die. They won't go to heaven. That is typical Calvinistic jargon. Hand in hand with his gospel is this typical false version of grace.
Grace means unmerited favor of God.
To Gum, grace means even though you don't deserve heaven because of your after conversion unrepentant acts of adultery, drunkenness, murder, rape, swindling, theft, hate, idolatry, etc., you'll still go. That flies square in the face of scores of scriptures. We are saved by grace, but we can fall from grace. Galatians 5, 2 through 4. If we are saved by grace and we fall from it, we also fall from salvation. Furthermore, God gives grace to the humble. One must be humble to get grace. The proud doesn't get grace. During our debate, I asked Gum this.
Do you tell Christians that it is just as vital to remain faithful to Jesus after the point of salvation as it is to get born again?
Pastor Gum?
Of course. Of course I do.
Gum just denies his own teaching and created confusion. His doctrine cannot allow him to view faithfulness to God for a Christian to be just as vital as getting born again, even though Revelation 2, 10 and 11 shows it is. You will soon hear his heretical version of the sin unto death, where a Christian turns to wickedness, remains unrepentant, and is struck dead by God, and he goes to heaven. Such a person was not faithful, yet goes to heaven. How vital was faithfulness to God there for salvation? Also, Gum previously said there are saved adulterers who are obviously not faithful. They have a double message and teach what is convenient for the moment. Gum also said this.
But to be so bold to say that you walk without sinning, that you can't lose your that you'll never sin to where you could lose your salvation.
That was a shocking statement from Gum. It sounds like he's actually rejecting his own theology from what he said earlier. It was Gum himself who was so bold as to teach the new creation does not sin. Here it is again. Listen to what he said.
When we're saved, we're born again. We have a new nature, and the Bible teaches that new nature cannot sin.
Gum also says it will never sin and lose salvation.
But to be so bold to say that you walk without sinning, that you can't lose your that you'll never sin to where you could lose your salvation.
I teach not all sins are of the same degree, which Gum opposes.
There's no distinction in sin.
Gum denies there are sins that lead to death and sins that don't lead to death. To him, all sins are the same. Worry is just as bad as adultery. Not being completely humble and gentle is just as bad as murder. Though he didn't cite a reference, the once saved, always saved people only have James 2, 10 and 11, which they misuse for that thought. All that passage says is that there's more than one way to become a lawbreaker. No scripture, including James 2, 10 and 11, teaches all sin is of the same degree. The Bible teaches just the opposite. Gum also said this.
By saving yourself from this untoward generation, of course, by following the Lord, you're saving your life, not your spirit, not from hell.
Gum refers to Acts 2:40 from the King James Version of the Bible, but apparently denies Peter spoke that to unsaved people while teaching a salvation sermon. Hence, Peter was talking about them saving themselves from hell. But that goes contrary to Calvinism's total depravity doctrine, which his twisted view of salvation is based upon. Then the radio host jumped in and tried to make some points for once saved, always saved.
Okay, if I stay in Hebrews 12, though, because I wrestle with this passage, it says you're not a son if you don't respond to discipline.
The radio host starts the debate and makes a false authoritative statement which is not found in Hebrews 12 to try to protect Calvinism and once saved, always saved. I was supposed to debate Gum, not two people, especially one who had the controls. To compound the problem, he is now saying something was in Scripture when it wasn't. Discipline does not always work, as I cited in Jeremiah 32:33 to prove. The radio host asked Gum a question about David.
Okay, Pastor Gum, David, did he die spiritually at that point?
No, of course not. Of course not. He had been born again.
Gum believes Adam died spiritually after one sin, but David didn't after various sins. There is no consistency with their doctrine. It is filled with contradictions and antithetical to Scripture, yet they teach it under grace and the infinite work of Christ to the damnation of all who like their security in sin gospel and act accordingly. Again, Gum said, of course not, because of his theology. To him, David didn't die spiritually. Of course he didn't, even though he committed adultery and premeditated murder. Clearly, such is a license for immorality taught under his distorted view of grace.
Oh, that when a Christian sins and will not repent,
That's what the Bible says in 1 John 5, that there is a sin unto death, and I do not say that a man should pray for it. Because when you cross, when a child of God crosses over that line, they're going to be taken out of this world.
Gum just refuted the radio host, which wrongly said Hebrews 12 teaches one is not a son if he does not respond to discipline. Also, Gum's false version of the sin unto death is physical death, not spiritual death like the Bible teaches. Spiritual death is shown in Romans 8:13 and two other times that Paul also taught about the consequences of sowing to please a sinful nature. Those two times are found in Galatians 5 and Galatians 6. In Galatians 5, 19 through 21, such a person will not inherit the kingdom of God. And in Galatians 6, 8 and 9, he will reap destruction and not eternal life. The radio host asked me this.
Dan, you don't think Moses lost his salvation, do you?
Of course not.
The radio host confuses the issue afterwards and misrepresented me by then saying about me.
Part, although he does agree with Moses.
I agreed. Moses didn't lose his salvation, but Moses was not an example of the sin unto death. Moses wasn't unrepentant after he sinned by striking the rock. He wasn't in some kind of vile, heinous sin and refused to repent after a period of time where God strikes him dead and takes him to heaven. Moses went to heaven. But make no mistake about it, even after he sinned in that manner, he continued to serve God. He was not allowed, however, into the promised land. In Deuteronomy 3, 25 and 26, we read where Moses asked God to go over and view the good land, the land of Jordan. And God told him not to speak of this matter anymore. Gum commented on parables with this.
Trying to establish a doctrine with a parable, and it just doesn't work.
Gum is wrong again. Why can't a parable be used for doctrine? A parable is scripture, and scripture is given for doctrine according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16 and 17. During the debate, I said,
what these people do, they confuse the issue with a question like that. What they're trying to say is that you cannot lose the possession of an eternal thing. Remember this, that it was eternal life before we ever possessed it. And if we stop possessing it, it will remain eternal even though we no longer possess it. Now, the Bible teaches eternal life is a gift and a present tense possession, but it also says about eternal life, it is a hope yet to be reaped in the world to come for the ones who persist in doing good and do not grow weary and give up, and the adulterers will not enter the kingdom like Jerry Gump wants us to believe.
Okay, Pastor Gum, go ahead.
Well, that's exactly what you've done. You confused the whole issue there.
Gum falsely accuses me of confusing the issue because I revealed that is what they do. Truth most often bounces off of these people, especially the ones who are teachers like Gum. I didn't confuse the issue at all. I merely stated the possession of an eternal thing can be lost and mentioned biblical truth about eternal life. Gum places the responsibility of continued salvation on God alone, with man having no role.
He maintains the elect. He maintains them. He preserves them.
Gum is saying man has no role in his salvation after getting born again. It is all up to God. If that was true, that is, if we are maintained by God, who does everything perfectly, why do Christians ever get deceived by false teaching and turn to sin sometimes? Romans 7, 14 through 25 was brought up.
Paul talking about himself, or is he talking about another group of unregenerates?
He's talking about himself.
To say Paul was referring to himself as a Christian in Romans 7, 14 through 25 is the most blatant display of scriptural ignorance I've ever heard, yet it is consistent by the grace changers. Paul was the greatest example of a committed and holy man Christianity ever produced. Romans 7:19 says, "For what I do is not the good I want to do, no, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing." If that was Paul as a Christian, he continued to do evil continuously, as the Greek shows, which is a denial of Paul being holy, righteous, and blameless, as 1 Thessalonians 2:10 and other scriptures clearly show. The following phone caller is a prime example of a victim of the heresy of eternal security.
I know that myself, I have never done anything that didn't have some sin in it, and neither will I ever do anything until I'm glorified. So personally, I'm grateful that the imputed righteousness of Christ and his blood pleads for me, or else I wouldn't be saved.
Okay. Okay, Pastor Gum, do you agree with Tom? Let's let you in here.
Oh, I agree with the caller.
What the caller said is the fruit of the false gospel of eternal security. He thinks he must sin all the time and is not thinking about seeking God to get freed through repentance because he thinks he can't. He also is not concerned about his salvation because he has been deceived by those who change grace into a license to sin. Since David didn't lose his salvation, he won't either, according to their dangerous version of salvation. Gum denies his doctrine is a license for immorality.
We do not teach licentiousness, but we teach the reality, the truth of the old man and the new man. In our church, if a man falls into sin, we try to rebuke him, we try to encourage him, but if he will not repent of that, we exclude him and turn him over that his flesh may be destroyed and for the chastisement of God.
But they're still saved in their adultery and drunkenness.
For Gum to deny his teaching is a license to sin doesn't change that it is. Again, Gum stated it is possible for a previously saved person not to repent, which contradicts what the Once Saved, Always Saved radio host said earlier about discipline resulting in repentance. Gum also referred to 1 Corinthians 5:5 without citing the reference. The context shows a man in sexual immorality who was wicked, according to verse 13, and therefore hell bound. Verse 5 says may be saved. It does not say saved now. Gum thinks the 1 Corinthians 5, 1-5 man committed sin worse than pagans and was a saved man. That is his version of Christianity. Gum veers off the subject of eternal security to a different point of Calvinism.
He did not die for all of the sins of all of the people. He died for all of the sins of all of his people.
Gum shows he believes in a third point of Calvinism, limited atonement, which is also false. Jesus died for the ungodly, Romans 5:6. To deny Jesus died for all people is to say those who go to hell are not ungodly. Getting back to once saved, always saved, Gum tries to make an unscriptural point.
And what God does cannot be taken from.
Does God take back what he has given? Yes. Revelation 22:19 says, if anyone takes words away from this book of prophecy, God will take away from him his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. God will take away one's share in the tree of life and the holy city if he sins in that way. Again, once saved, always saved is shown to be unscriptural and therefore not a Christian teaching. It is built on various false concepts taught under biblical terms which seem on the surface to exalt Christ. Such a masterpiece delusion has resulted in the damnation of multitudes. Please consult our books, The Believer's Conditional Security and The Myth of Eternal Security, for more information. Please fight against the grace changers and the damnable heresy of eternal security. Because the radio host believed in eternal security, Gum was given more overall time than me. He was also given more opportunity without interference to comment. The radio host also cut me off and would go to a break or a caller when it would help save once saved, always saved from apparent problems. The radio host started to debate me. Therefore, I ended up debating two people, and one was actually behind all the controls. May souls be helped and God's truth shine forth. God bless you.